Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Vijana Balabha Givadadari. Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana. Ramunati Ravanachari. Ramum nati ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Govindana Vallabha Givadadari. Govijana Vallabha Givadadari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Govijana Vallabha Givadadari. Govijana Vallabha Givadadari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Giravana 무너지요 어느 자리 내일 알아 멀어 근접이하리 내일 알아 멀어 근접이하리 Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Mayapur Dham ki jai, Ganga Mahi ki jai, Jamuna Mahi ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Mad Bhagavatam Granth Raj ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrind ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, 25th chapter, text 56. Evam karmasu saṅśakta kamātmā vanchito buddha mahiṣi adyate Mahishi adyati heta tattad evan vavartata evam karmasu saṅśakta kamātmā vanchito buddha Mahishi adyati heta tattad evan vavartata Evam karmasu saṅśakta kamātmā vanchito buddha mahiṣi adyati heta tattad evān vavartata
Ladies. Mahatma Vanchito Dha Mahishi Vanchita Tata Devan Vavartita Evam, thus, karmasu, in fruitive activities, saṃsakta, being too much attached, kama atma, lusty, vanchita, cheated, abhudha, less intelligent, mahishi, the queen, Yat-yat, whatsoever, iheta, she would desire, tat-tat, all of that, eva, certainly, anvavartata, he followed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being thus entangled in different types of mental concoction and engaged in fruitive activities, King Puranjana came completely under the control of material intelligence and was thus cheated. Indeed, he used to fulfill all the desires of his wife, the queen. Report. When a living entity is in such bewilderment that he is under the control of his wife or material intelligence, he has to satisfy the intelligence of his so-called wife and act exactly according to her dictates. Various shastras advise that for material convenience, one should keep his wife always satisfied by giving her ornaments and by following her instructions. In this way, there will be no trouble in family life. Therefore, for one's own social benefit, one is advised to keep his wife satisfied. In this way, when one becomes the servant of his wife, he must act according to the desires of his wife. Thus, one becomes more and more entangled. In Bengal, it is said that if one becomes an obedient servant of his wife, he loses all reputation. However, the difficulty is that unless one becomes a most obedient servant of his wife, family life becomes disturbed. In the Western countries, this disturbance gives rise to the divorce law, and in Eastern countries, like India, there is separation. Now this disturbance is confirmed by the new introduction of the divorce law in India. Within the heart, the mind is acting, thinking, feeling, and willing, and falling under the control of one's wife is the same as falling under the control of material intelligence. Thus one begets children by his wife and becomes entangled in so many activities under the control of mental concoctions. So now we know how intelligent the organizers of this class are. They picked the right person to speak about service to the wife and children. Sometimes my name is Pancharatna, by the way. So Pancharatna, you are all from India, so you know what that means. Five jewels. But my name is actually Pancharatna Dasa. I am the servant of five jewels. So what are those five jewels? My wife and my four children. I am their servant. So it's very appropriate that I am sitting here. There's no other reason for me to sit here with so many exalted devotees, except that I personify the message in this purport. Servant of the wife and children and entangled in so many activities, under the control of mental concoctions. So, but rather than talking about all the disturbances that such entanglement creates, I'm sure you have observed it, either in your own life or in the life of your parents or perhaps you're one of those very rare souls that has had a perfect family, everything is just wonderful. It happens for some time, and then we die, and it is finished. But rather than speak about that, I thought to talk about what is described in the beginning and end of this, what we've just read, the term mental concoction. I found this struck me as something that I would like to explore for a number of reasons. And the description of the mind, which is discussed here in this verse. So mind, mental concoction, this is what I propose to speak on in this talk. And I beg your pardon, forgiveness in advance for all the mistakes and I will make, but please keep it in mind that I am one of these people whose intelligence is sometimes bewildered by family life. So, in this verse, Srila Prabhupada takes some liberty in his translation to include in the definition of karmasu. The word in the verse is karmasu, which literally means, as he's described here, infruitive activity, to include mental concoction. He says, being thus entangled in different types of mental concoction and engaged in fruitive activities. So these two are linked. Fruitive work and mental concoction are grouped together by Srila Prabhupada. So why is that? So we can turn to an earlier verse in which this same term is used, this time more directly, in Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumaras. He states, excuse me, my glasses are... Bhavatsu kushala prashna atma rameshu nesyate kushala kushala yatra nasanti matti vrittayaha. In the translation, Prithu Maharaj continued, my dear sirs, there is no need to ask about your good and bad fortune because you are always absorbed in spiritual bliss. The mental concoction of the auspicious and inauspicious does not exist in you. Matti vrittaya. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dvaite badra badra gyan shab manodharma. A bhalo, A manda, A sub brahma. So here we see how the link is made between fruitive activity and mental concoction. In fruitive activity or in karma, there must be some distinction between what is good and bad. When we are working for the fruits, we are always working for what we think are the good fruits. When you perform some karma, is it so that you can get the bad result? Who will do that? Who goes about doing something thinking it doesn't matter what result I get? We're always thinking, let me do this in such a way that I get this result, whatever it was that we chose or what we entered onto. But in fact, both the good result and the bad result are illusion, are an invention of the mind. An invention of the mind. What is the mind doing? Here Prabhupada discusses, he talks about mind as the place where something is happening, and what is that? Thinking, feeling, and willing. So I was thinking about thinking, feeling, and willing. So we all are aware, the mind of thought within the mind. And when we say feeling, we also mean emotion. Some, which we give some word to. The mind gives it some word, anger or sorrow, sadness, feeling. And I've always thought about the willing. What is the willing? Is this the impulses from this thinking, from this feeling, arise some sort of impulse towards action. And this impulse towards action is the business of the mind. The mind gives the impulse. Without mental energy, nothing, we're immobile. We sit doing nothing. But when the mind generates that energy, that impulse to go forward, to do something, to act upon the thinking, the thoughts, the emotions that take place in the mind, then we get willing or action or impulse, and something happens. So mind is doing these things. And where is mind? It's described here that mind is within the heart. This is also interesting. We think generally mind in the brain. Nowadays there's some neurologists who are exploring the mind and the heart. There is neurological activity in the heart. There's not only we think brain is the source of all neurological activity, but the heart also has its own set of neurons that are acting, and not in a small proportion of the brain neurons, but still is there. And other connections are being explored. But from Bhagavatam and from Srila Prabhupada, we hear about the heart as the residence of the mind. So, mind is there. But where is mind getting its energy and how is it working? So this whole chapter begins with Paranjan meeting who is to be his queen in the city of Nine Gates. Who is that queen? You've been listening for 20 days, so who's the queen? Intelligence. What kind of intelligence? material intelligence. This is what is described here. This whole verse is also linking the two concepts again, again and again. We're linked that the wife of Paranjan is the material intelligence. So, and Paranjan, as every man, as the analogous person, metaphorical person for every one of us, is serving his material intelligence with everything. And the material intelligence is thus engaging the mind in thinking, feeling, and acting, and thus entanglement in all kinds of activities, which are karmasu, fruitive activities. But where is the intelligence getting its energy? Where does the intelligence, which is material intelligence, where is the source of its power? Where does it come from? If the mind, if the body and senses are energized by the mind, and the mind is energized or directed by intelligence, where does the intelligence get its power from? Oh. False ego, soul. False ego, soul. False ego. Do we have a vote here? Okay. Intelligence. Acquires a false ego. Boy, now we're going to have to use our intelligence here. Soul. My mental concoction is starting. No. Super soul. Whew. Boy. We're going to have to start to go deeper here. To find out. What is the energy which activates the intelligence? And between, so there's desire. And desire comes to the intelligence through
hearing.
Yes. What is the symptom of the soul? Consciousness. Right? Isn't it that, I mean, now I hope I'm not entering into that realm of mental concoction. Anyway, I'm trying to understand with your help. So consciousness. When our consciousness goes to our intelligence and our mind, then it becomes activated. If we have no consciousness in the realm of our material intelligence and mind and senses, they remain inactive. What happens if you go to some time in a hospital, you see someone in a coma, no consciousness. There's no activity. No activity. Without consciousness, nothing will happen. And where does the consciousness go? How does that energy of consciousness, how does it enter in? How does it connect to the mind, the intelligence, through this false ego? So the soul, so we're all right. From the soul comes consciousness. The soul, the living being, is a part, a parcel of the supreme source of all energy. Prashya shakti vividaiva sruyate. The supreme is the source of unlimited energies. And as parcel, one tiny portion, one of the energies, we have our own minute energy, and that energy is our consciousness. That energy is the consciousness which is energized itself by desire, by intention. One of my gurus, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he has a term, where attention goes, energy flows. Where our consciousness goes, energy will go. Things become active. So when our intention, our desire, moves our consciousness into the field of material intelligence and mind and senses, then based on our false ego, where we are identifying this as ourself, we get so much fruit of activity, so much entanglement, and it is all simply a mental concoction. There is no reality to any of it, truthfully, fundamentally, because of its temporary, illusory nature. In the earlier, in the purport to what we, where Srila Prabhupada talks about mental concoction, where we heard a bhalo, a manda, a sub brahma. What is the concoction? The concoction is this is good, this is bad, this is favorable, this is unfavorable, this is enjoyable, this is not enjoyable. Prabhupada describes, the spirit soul is always transcendental. There is no question of becoming materially covered. This covering is simply something like a hallucination or a dream. I'm just skipping over a bit here. Simply by association we create artificial material necessities. When we forget our real constitutional position and wish to enjoy the material resources, our material desires manifest and we associate with varieties of material enjoyment. As soon as the concoctions of material enjoyment are there, because of our association, we create, this is what we do, we create a sort of lust or eagerness to enjoy them. And when that false enjoyment does not actually make us happy, we create another illusion known as anger. Why not? My senses said this would give me pleasure. My intelligence said, he's enjoying. I can enjoy. Oh, just give me this, give me that. This, I will be happy. I'm not happy. I'm cheated. Somewhere I made the wrong decision. I didn't figure it out right. I just have to do it better. And I can get it. I can rise to the top. I can enjoy. And the illusion becomes stronger. When we are illusioned in this way, forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna follows. And by thus losing Krishna consciousness, our real intelligence is defeated. Someone else, Maharaj, you also said the super soul. The super soul is with us in the heart, giving us, supplying us with real intelligence. But we ignore it. And our spiritual intelligence, that which is given and endowed within us by the Lord, is covered. And in this way we become entangled in this material world. So we are all in the business of surrendering. We let our consciousness flow into the material intelligence, the material mind, the material sense. We become the servants. This is the message in this purport, that we become this servant. And we have to dance like a puppet on the strings of this material intelligence, directing us this way, that way, in every way. If we don't do it, everything is disturbed. We just go back. So I was thinking, okay, the business of the mind is thinking, thought, feeling, impulse, action. The business of the intelligence is to direct and discriminate and choose one over the other for the arrangement of material into this will, okay, yeah, this form of sensual activity, this will bring this result. This form of sensual, this will bring this result. So do this, do that. And the consciousness is simply serving, giving its attention, its intention to this material intelligence and mind and senses. Without our intention, without our conscious intention, this won't work. So we're surrendering ourselves to the desire, to the dictate of our minds, our intelligence. We're surrendering. Therefore, we have to reverse the surrendering process. We have to take our consciousness, pull it back from the unlimited comings and goings of mind and senses and material intelligence. Pull it back. Bring it. Give it to Krishna. Surrender our consciousness, our energy, that which we have, the only thing that we have, and give it to Krishna in love. And then when Krishna enters, when our consciousness goes to His feet, the material mind and intelligence, they recede. And only Krishna is there. And as Krishna takes root, then He awakens our spiritual senses to perceive Him, to experience Him. Our intelligence, our spiritual intelligence, to understand His calling, His direction, and to serve, to use that energy, to direct our energy in His service. So this is our practice, surrendering our consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna. We practice, should be practicing at every moment, but at least as we sit down in the morning to chant the holy name, Harinam, This is a realm in which the mind is not required to have its thinking and feeling and willing activities going on. We can simply surrender to the sound of the holy name of Krishna. Give our consciousness fully into the Harinam and let our real spiritual life awaken. So these are some some thoughts that came to me as I was contemplating this verse. I had some other thoughts that I'll share with you before we end very shortly, because so many of my senior god brothers are here. I wanted to share my prayer that in the coming days, as we attempt to engage our minds and intelligence in the service of Srila Prabhupada, that we be careful to always maintain our intention, to look to our intentions, to look to where our energy is, that our intention remains fixed on the service of Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our Sampradaya, our dear Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes as we use our faculties, our intelligence and mind and so on in various kinds of discussion and debate, that we recognize and be appreciative of our attempts while focused on common intention. We will not agree, it is likely, as we go into various discussions on different ways in which it is how to best serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. We are not so fortunate, at least I am not. And any of you who identify with what I'm saying, then please take it. That to have direct guidance from Krishna in our hearts, where he is dictating our every thought, our every idea, every feeling, is simply the dictation of the Supreme Lord directly, because our intention is so pure, our love for him is so absolute that no false ego comes in the way. But if you are like me, and there's false ego, there's all kinds of other things, then it is likely that something may come that needs to be looked at, examined, to see, does it serve? Does it not serve? Will it work? Does it not work? And we'll be employing whatever intelligence comes to us, or that we are equipped with. And in the process, let us always remember our common bond, our common goal, and remain fixed on that goal of finding the best solutions with the limited resources that we have. Hare Krishna. So, are there some elucidations that the people who should be sitting here can give us on what we've talked about. Hari Vilas. And corrections, please.
Hare Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarva Sichaham Hridi Sanivisto, Matak Smriti Jnanam Apahanam Cha. So according to this desire that we develop in our heart, because we have limited free will, our free will is limited to two things only. Either we accept Krishna or we reject Krishna. Either way, what's going to happen is already known. Even though Krishna knows everything, if we reject Krishna, it's already known what will happen. And if we accept Krishna, it's already known what will happen. So the super soul in the heart, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hride Se Rujinatistati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Yudrani Maya, gives us either the knowledge, the remembrance, or the forgetfulness. Therefore, hearing Bhagavatam every morning, chanting our rounds, associating with devotees, respecting Mahaprasadam, and seriously putting into effect Lord Chaitanya's teaching, Chinadapi Sunichana, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundaram, one is saved from inflating the false ego, thinking, Ishwaroham Aham Bogi, I am the supreme controller and I am the enjoyer. We understand Jivara Swarupahaya Krishna Nitya Das. I'm not the enjoyer, I'm not the controller, I'm the servant. So that's our constitutional position. That's by Prabhupada's mercy. Arjuna tells Krishna, Nasta Moha Smitir Labva Tat Prasadat Mayuchita. Stito Smi Gatasandeha Karishya Vachanam Tava. And now, Nasti Moha. This Moha is gone. Smitir Labva, I can remember who I am. Tat Prasadat Mayuchita. Krishna, this is your prasad. This is your mercy. Stito Smi, I'm situated in my real position. Gatasandeha, I don't have any doubts. Karishye vachanam tava, whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. So Prabhupada's program will keep us free of that moha, nirmana moha, jita sanga dosa. We become free of it. Then Krishna helps us to fulfill our spiritual desires based on our constitutional position as a servant of God. But as soon as some little impurity enters the mind and we begin to think I can be the controller and the enjoyer, then Krishna also helps us. We can't do anything without Krishna's help. Everything we have, all the apparatus we have is under Krishna's control. The eyes, the senses, everything. So therefore, I've heard Prabhupada said that a devotee is always praying, please Krishna, don't let me fall into Maya.
Hare. Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other elucidations? You talked about hearing. That through hearing we energize.
I'm just repeating from the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 3, text number 40. Indriyani Paranyahura. Indriyani Mano Buddhyastya Dishtanam Uchite. Eteravimoha Yatyesha Gyanam Amrityadehinam. The senses, the mind, the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. And the purport Prabhupada says, in order to find out how to conquer this lust, one has to find out the strategic places that he's situated in. First of all, through the hearing process, the mind becomes the repository of all kinds of lusty desires. Next, the senses become repositories of lust. lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire a false ego by which he misidentifies himself with the mind and intelligence, thus engages in activities of sense gratification. So everything begins with hearing. When we hear the glories of sense gratification, then the mind becomes filled with desires for sense gratification. Then the senses become agitated. And then the soul, in order to satisfy the agitated mind and senses, has its intelligence acquire false ego, engage in the activities of sense gratification. But as soon as we hear the glories of Tasma, Tvam, Indriyanya, Do, Niyamya, Bharatar, Shiva, Patmanam, Prajihiyenam, Gyanam, Vijnana, Nashinam. Therefore, Arjuna, in the very beginning, curbed this very symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and destroy this slayer of knowledge and self-realization. So as soon as we hear about Krishna and the glories of serving Krishna, then, as you said, all the false ego goes away, because ultimately everything winds up Indriyani Pranyahur Indriyabhyak Puran Manak Manasastu Puro Buddhir Yobude Paratastu Saha. The senses are superior to dull matter, mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than the mind, and the soul is even higher than the intelligence. So when the soul connects with his intelligence to Krishna, that spiritual force, the spiritual energy of Krishna, the Daivi Prakriti, controls the mind and senses, and therefore one is not influenced at all by lust or the other corollaries of lust. Instead, one is actually acting under the control of the internal energy of Krishna. And therefore, in evambude purambudva, samstabhyatmanam atmana, jahi shatram mahabahu, jnana vijnana nashana. Therefore, Arjuna, we're in the beginning, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any further? I think we're out of time. Thank you very much. I thank you for your association. Hare Krishna.